following podcast will most definitely contain language that will both offend and stimulate. Any situations mirroring your real life are purely coincidental and have nothing to do with you. Calm your tits, sit down, and enjoy the show.
And you are now listening to Activate LA Radio.
Good evening. This is Los Angeles.
What's up? What's up? What is going on, Radio Land? What's up, Podcast Land? What is going on, Facebook? What's up, ActivateLA.com, LAPartyRadio.com, and IdentifyRadio.com. I can't hear myself. What's up, Tremaine? How you doing?
Hey, oh. Okay, there we go. Yeah.
That's right, man.
And oh, yeah.
We are back on this beautiful... Is this a... What do you call it, Dior?
Glorious.
Is this a glorious Sunday?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's pretty smooth.
It's not glorious because we can't hear you.
Is your microphone on? Maybe.
No. It's on. I don't think
Both. Is your switch up?
Today
counts as a glorious Sunday.
Oh, I can't, keep it on there. Fuck. We'll leave it for the goal.
Next year is going to be crazy on Sundays because of the damn football teams, man. That's going to suck, man.
Oh, what? They're building another...
Yeah, the Chargers are here too now, man. So Chargers and the Rams is going to suck in L.A. on Sunday, man.
You're going to have to start learning to arm wrestle.
Some shit. No, it's not going to suck that bad because... I guess more people to interact with. It makes Sundays kind of hype and fun, but getting down here isn't going to be as easy.
You going to chest bump the dudes? You going to chest bump with your bros?
Who knows? Some elbow scrubs and all that good stuff.
elbow scrubs.
Yeah, man. And in the house, we got the DR's guest today, man, our friend. You mind introducing yourself?
The name is Reminisce.
Reminisce.
I hail from Oakland, California.
And welcome to the Activator Late Radio Show. Let me see. Where's my hype?
On point.
I got to put a sticker on this because this is kind of loud. Yeah. So when did you move here to L.A.? Mm. Been a while? Or?
Roughly about 6 years ago. Yeah, 6 years. I just made the decision to come out. I've been in the music biz for over 10, so I just figured, you know, wanted to expand my craft in a wider city, you know.
Yeah.
Broaden horizons, you know, all that happy stuff. So here I am.
Yeah. Yes. And Reminisce is expanding. Here. We were discussing earlier, you know.
Is your mic up or maybe closer?
I think it's...
You're pretty fucking far.
Oh, the thing is that I got the level like up, so I'm like kind of bopping wing. Yeah. So you also do music, multi-user of
I do music. I'm also a multi-instrumentalist.
Oh, that's that's what you call it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So now mainly guitar, bass, keys, drums, and. What writer, producer, arranger, just, you know, full circle. Yeah.
LA, he's
all
like
self-taught, you know.
Mini cult legend, like Diamond Ortiz or somebody.
Oh, that's my man. Yeah, shout out to Diamond Ortiz.
Oh, he's,
out there.
He's from the Bay too, right?
Diamond Ortiz. Mm-hmm. Dope. Yeah, 415, all the way live, man. Yeah. Keeping the funk
that's
alive.
That's a smooth
too.
Bassist, man. His energy is the shit on stage, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a slick dude.
Slap at the bass.
It's, yeah, he was recently in on the stream that Kid Boogie and Fingas have every Friday night.
Yeah, there's a lot of people starting to pass through the studio now.
Wait,
XL,
what's
Diamond.
Wait, what's about Friday? What up?
Oh, every Friday, Kid Boogie and Fingas, they have like a show. It's live video stream on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, okay.
And but they just start making beats, mainly
Got
funk.
It. Got
mainly
it.
Funk. Mm-hmm. This Friday, they did a G-Funk. West Coast Rap special because
nice.
Tupac.
Loved it. I would love to get on
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. Good
well,
music.
His birthday just passed. A shitload of Geminis. I know a bunch of Geminis, man. Recently.
That's true. Yeah, same here.
You're pretty good with the astrology and the horoscopes and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. This one here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you believe like?
Well, I didn't used to, but years ago, back in like 2002 or whatever year it was, when I was 18, 19, I started noticing. The patterns and people's natures and characters and, you know, it is what it is. You're born into a certain track pattern and certain aspects of your nature reflect that.
Mm.
It's really, it's cosmic in a way that we can't comprehend.
Yeah, and it gets you to know yourself a lot more, you know, beyond, like, it is the metaphysics, you know. That's yeah. what I think.
And yeah, it's something about our bodies and the earth and you know, winter babies, spring babies, you know, these little track patterns affect your character as you grow up. But we just have, you know, certain natures, certain little tweaks here and there in our natures.
Yeah.
As we develop.
Have you ever like based your dating off astrology and horoscopes?
Mm. In my younger years, I used to didn't get along with Scorpios, female Scorpios. Like they were feeling me, but I wasn't something about them. But then as years passed, I got more confident and I had thicker skin, so now I have a good energy with them, so they don't phase me in the slightest. They haven't phased me in years now.
Damn,
so,
baby, yeah. You a water sign. You so, and me could never yeah. align.
Right, right. So your water flows less, and she's like,
I think I just got tougher,
the,
man.
The
I just
valley got tied. Is sort of
dry. Yeah, I just got tougher, man. That's all it was.
I
need a thicker skin. That's all it was.
Yeah, but if you bring it in the full circle, it makes sense. Like, you know, me, I'm an earth sign.
Okay.
And although depending on what sign and how what's your relationship with them, but it really makes sense if you look at the elements. It's like let's see, air and water, you know. It's yeah. like water can't control the air, but air can control the water. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, interesting. I never thought about
it. Waves and all that, you know. So like Cancer and Gemini are like, you know, like dating, like just kind of, I guess, opposite signs or incompatible signs. It has to do with the laws of nature too. And with your personality, and you know, one is controlling some factor of your life, you know, which is where the
and in this case, like, because
the malfunction comes.
I'm an earth, my you know, sign.
Yeah.
What would the earth? What kind of sign would an earth sign?
Well, control? Earth signs tend to be more. They're more grounded. You know, I'm a Taurus, so
okay.
My sign. You know, I'm fixed. That's my quality. You know, there's Taurus, Capricorn, and Virgo. All three of those are earth signs. And then you have qualities.
Yeah.
There's cardinal, fixed, and mutable.
Yeah.
So cardinal, which means to start. Fixed is to maintain, you know, fight. Like, I'm the fighter, you know. And mutable, which means to end, or end to start something new. But always ending something, always destroying, you know. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, Doc. Mm-hmm. Doc came in and said, "Shout out to my dude, Reminis."
Oh, right on.
He's tuning in right Doc? Now. Doc, yeah, Doc Heyman.
Doc, okay. Heyman.
Right on, Doc.
Yeah, so yeah. Give us a call. Let me make sure the hotline is open, and that's
the Activate LA Hotline 424-777-2423. Active now.
Oh, one of the listeners knew him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or at least made it sound like that.
Yeah.
Doc Heyman.
Big shout out to Doc Heyman, and big shout out to you know, we interviewed him before from EMX. Big shout out
EMX.
EMX, we have they have every Sunday nights at Tokyo Beat. That's
319 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, California. Tokyo Beat,
California,
located in the Tokyo Mall.
Tokyo Mall, yeah. So, what has been your experiences based off of astrology and horoscopes? Has it helped you? Has it affected you? What's the pros and cons?
there are pros and cons, but there are no pros and cons, if that makes sense. As long as it's just about being aware. That's all. Just being aware. You know, I would suggest to those who haven't done, and just, you know, they identify with their sun sign, is to do their whole natal chart. You know, that's your birthday, your time of birth, your place of birth, and it tells you where the stars were aligned and the planets. Because with me, I know my whole natal chart. You know, I'm my ascendant, my rising is Capricorn, and I'm mostly Capricorn. I'm Capricorn
mostly
in four different planets.
Are you like Capricorn, a rare breed Pokemon, like a crossbreed Capricorn?
I'm
Capricorn with a little bit of Pisces.
But my moon is in Pisces, actually. But
have a little bit of Tamatio in me.
Tamatio.
Yeah, my Jupiter and my Mercury is in Gemini, so I process everything like a Gemini, which were the multifaceted comes in, the musician, and, you know,
do I have Jupiter in me?
you'd have to do your chart, and
I hope
I'll have to explain.
If I look at my chart and I don't have Jupiter in me, I'd be disappointed. I sort of wish I didn't.
Oh wait, wait, wait! No, everyone has a Jupiter.
I got a Jupiter in me,
but
yeah,
you got to know what your sign is. And
come over here, matriculate my Jupiter, baby.
You want to?
Yeah. Everyone has moon, sun, planets, Pluto. You know, it just.
But they say Pluto don't exist. They say Pluto ain't a planet technically.
It's coming back.
Do we still got Pluto? You gonna keep Pluto for later?
It's coming back.
We'll build colonies on it anyway.
You know what? Yeah, Pluto's not a planet anymore.
You say cunnilingus rice.
I think I did hear that they're
bringing it back.
They made it back.
They're bringing Pluto back.
And then not only that, there's some crazy. What is that? I think it's the sidereal or sidereal. I think it's called sidereal astrology, where there's the 13th sign, Ophinicus or something.
What?
Yeah, so you're technically whatever you are, you're a sign back. Like, I'm not a Taurus, I'm an Aries. No,
oh, wow.
That's just another methodology.
Wait, but everything else was an element, but then Ophinicus, the fuck is that? Is that like other? Is that like the Green Party?
I would say so. Yes, it's the 13th zodiac.
You don't fall under the signs of anything else. You're a Finicus.
We're gonna make the Green Party count.
From the makers of Insurgent,
your other
a Finicus.
Yeah. So that, I mean, it's no one really cares. It goes off of that.
But you say it lines
tropical
up.
Tropical astrology is the main
tropical.
That's the default. Like that's what we go by. That's what we've been going by for centuries. Or you know, the longest
like
time.
Meaning standing in like a tropical location.
No,
tropical astrology.
I know that it's the tropical zodiac. You, like that's what it's called. And then there's the sidereal zodiac. Yeah.
So the zodiacs have nothing to do
like Pacific time. What am I standing? Am I like on a Pacific island?
No, right not now? Pacific island, but a location.
Location. Yeah, it's based off of a location.
Which tropics mean like extravagant, like we out here on the beach, right near the beach. Look at the stars.
I would just look in and research what that really is because I don't want to give an answer like, and it means
yeah,
something.
My friends say tropical astrology, you have to hold a coconut.
I just know there are two different ones and uh-huh. The default one is, the tropical zodiac.
The tropical zodiac. Well, this is just some random shit. You're pretty well versed in this.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've been known. I am a Renaissance man. That's what they say. So.
What about Chinese astrology? Are you into it too? Are you related or you're just more
a little bit, but no, not enough to just talk about it.
My
right
homie
now.
Drift in New York.
Numerology.
Yes. Drift.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very familiar with the Chinese zodiac. I don't even know how you keep up with him. Like the 8-year pattern, I can't even wrap my brain around an 8-year pattern.
What do you mean? After 8 years, it repeats?
Yeah, it's 8 years. I think right. The Chinese zodiac is 8 years, or is it 12? 10? I think it's 8. Either way, I can't keep up with the year with the pattern of years. But he knows it. Like it's a grid. It's like a grid. Our zodiac and theirs. But I'm not so sure. It's I don't know. Following this one suffices for me. I can't really keep up with it.
Yeah.
Dead air.
No, I
ain't talking about shit.
How was your weekend, Jermaine?
It was enjoyable. Yeah. I saw a Tupac movie.
Oh, you did?
I saw a Tupac movie. Yeah.
Oh, that was a documentary. It was a movie.
Haven't yet. Yo, that was a real life movie.
I think you could put him into two categories. I think the dopest one is Resurrection. Because it's in Tupac's voice, but they like matriculated the shit out of that, where they like chopped his sayings to get it to say a specific. But that's still dope that, you know, have his life followed and he like narrates the whole shit. Compared to this, like Jada Pinkett's already saying there's some bullshit.
50 Cent
ain't really got like, you know what I mean? It's
yeah, he wasn't.
But I understand I understand what it was. Well, first of all, guys, spoiler alert.
Let me.
He dies at the end. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay. So, all right. But all it is like, it seems like everything they made a focus on, like pictures. Pictures is out there whether you've seen them or not. Like when he's in the bathtub in the video, the picture he had with Faith. There's a lot of shit that they showed, like, in the footage, like when he's leaving out the fucking courthouse spitting at the cameras, but that wasn't actually in the movie. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, based off of, okay, we need to get from this point to this point, and then, like, there's a when him and Sugar right in the car when it got shot up. Nobody knows that fucking conversation. Maybe Suge said it to somebody. I'm pretty sure that person has nothing to do with the movie, so they didn't go around sort of looking. It seems like this is like a fan-made type of deal, but we sort of know a few stories, a few people, and we put it together. But for what it was, it's enjoyable. It's a movie. You know what I mean? So it's enjoyable, and in my opinion, I thought it was better than the Straight Outta Compton shit, right? Yeah. But then 50 Cent, I still haven't actually looked, but I could have swore he said, yo, I saw an iPhone 7 in the Tupac shit.
Dude. Yes. You know what? And maybe when we go on, I'm going to do a little.
Hey, but search. They went over, above and beyond. Now, they fucked up because Tupac wasn't wearing Karl Kanai in 96, and they had him wearing Karl Kanai.
Oh, that was back in 93, right?
Yeah, but in 96, it's like when the movie was in, you know, he was in Vegas and shit. This is 96, like he was in MTV New York shit. This is 96. He's wearing the Karl Kanai, same cursive shit like he was in 93. They fucked up there, but I think it was the fact that they was able to, those look like one-of-ones, like the jackets. He had a whole bunch of shit.
Wait, but what was he wearing in 96? Was it like the silk shirt that he used to, you know?
96, yeah, that's one of the, they had that,
that
right.
That was the Carl, no, that's not the Karl Kanai, right? That's something else.
They had him wearing a lot of Air Force Ones. I don't really, you know.
Bruh.
But see, why are we nitpicking at that? Because the good part is, mm-hmm. Homeboy's head is very round. Tupac doesn't have like the round ball head, right? Mm-hmm. And then my roommate pointed this out. My homeboy pointed this out, like, yo, I couldn't really look past his he looks nothing like him. His face looks like him, but then the roundness of his head. But these motherfuckers made specific angles, like how they showed it,
yeah.
To where you get all the facial features and not as much as what's different. And I was like, okay, they cool. You know, they. I think it's for entertainment purposes, it's cool. And the fact that Tupac has a fucking movie where they did this type of meticulous detail, I thought it was cool. Nobody's ever going to always be happy. But yeah. At least I'm on the side of thumbs up. You know, I paid to see it. No regrets.
I have yet
no regrets.
To see it.
Yeah. Speaking of Kid Boogie's tuning in, what up, Kid Boogie, man? Big shout out to you guys. It's, Friday night's live stream, man. Every Friday, man, they're dope.
Fingers, Kid Boogie. Yes. Right now, available through the Sleepers Records, KB, A Toast to the Boogie.
Toast to the Boogie.
Go and buy that shit.
That shit's raw, man. Yeah, no, but, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, like, why are they people nitpicking and everything? Yeah. But that's what always happens, right? Like, with the...
A part of the shit is, though, it's like it's... I hear there's fucking lawsuits, like gag orders put on the certain family members to speak negatively about the movie. The movie wasn't greenlit until after Afeni died. Afeni was against this movie, like she spoke out against this movie when she had breath. And then like they showed her crack issue in the movie, and then they also showed Tupac's financial shit not being in order. So those could be parts where, like, you know what I mean, like you want to put everybody up on a pedestal, and these are sort of like, you know, we're fucking people, we're human. But maybe that's what people have an issue with, is don't put that in it. Like, if we talk to us, we'll, you know, say it how we want to say it. And then when they sort of go into different parts like that,
I always have my, these days I have my expectations low for film, man, especially on a matter, subject matter as sensitive as this. Being the huge 90s fan that I am, huge Tupac fan that I am, huge film buff that I am. The movie was originally supposed to be called, what was it called? What was the title?
All Eyes on Me.
It was originally supposed to be called Live to Tell. Unless this wasn't based off the screenplay, this was based on his life?
This is just a retelling of his life.
Okay. He wrote a script apparently called Live to Tell, and it's been in development for years also. And so I guess, I don't know, I guess they put that on the back burner, because I thought that's what this was. This popped out of nowhere.
But honestly,
I usually follow shit on IMDb like a year before it even starts filming. When it's in development, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Nah, this is just fucking negative, always negative shit. But I'm thinking Live to Tell is like, it might have been like a skeleton he's working on, but for sure I don't think he had no full screenplay. I know he had like a bunch of unwritten or unpublished songs, lyrics, poetry, ideas, track lists for different records, who he's going to have, like guest features he's going to have, but like a full screenplay.
Yeah,
I'm thinking it's going to be like where, you know, hey, he wanted this, 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 and there's going to be like one guy like, yeah, we're gonna do it like this.
Well, naturally, Hollywood is gonna develop it either way. So unless they take pictures of the actual script, like they did with his poetry book,
that would already taint it. Like, you know what I mean? This is Tupac's vision as told by Theophilus.
Yeah, but every movie gets put into development though, and it passes through a lot of different hands anyway. So yeah, in this case, it'll be hard to tell. But like I said, my expectations are low anyway.
Is this the video?
There we go.
All right, hold on, let me throw it.
Go to a quick segment here of watching YouTube with us. I thought this was a classic, but the DR was not aware of this video. Brian McKnight's home studio footage of him coming up with a song called If You're Ready to Learn. Yeah. And here, watching YouTube with us, we're just going to watch this video and share some great music, I thought. I think, would you guys agree, reminisce?
He sounds fantastic. It's creative.
There we go.
The word pussy throws me off, but hey.
It's just a word.
R&B.
Is it like a surprise for
I never like it when they curse and shit in R&B.
Those dirty five-letter words.
Is this video a surprise to the audience, or do you guys?
100%. Brian McKnight is the most clean-cut R&B soul, like, you know what I mean? Wedding classics,
ever.
Bar mitzvah classics, everything. He's got a song for everything, and everybody, you know. So for him to step. Toasted corn chips, salsa verde.
Verdejo. I just cut Jermaine off in the middle of the sentence. Why didn't he? He cut himself off with the food.
Well, yeah. Well, when you hand me shit while things going on, I'm thinking something of importance, you know.
Right. No, I know. Me and him, we always do the food exchange up in here.
I wonder if your public wants to hear crackling.
So basically what you were saying is that Brian McKnight is he's the least edgy. He's not usually known for being edgy.
Yeah, it's not that edgy. He's just known for like if Stevie Wonder, like I remember when Eminem was making fun, like he had a video, I forgot what year it was, 2005, 2006, but Michael Jackson's nose came out in the video and he's like running after his nose in the video.
Really?
And then, this looks like Guess Who's Back?
Sounds like a South Park episode.
Guess Who's Back, right? That's the name of it. Like that whole video is fucking with Michael Jackson and Christopher Reeves. But Stevie Wonder was in the Billboard magazine. He's like, you know, cut that bullshit out. That's enough of that fucking shit or something. I was like, oh, Stevie, like, oh. All right, you know. So, but you don't know Stevie for that. But you gotta get him like a little older. Brian McKnight is not yet to that, you know, not give a fuck age. Like Bill Cosby leaving the courthouse doing the Fat Albert laugh. Like I thought he lost it.
It's usually the opposite, man. Usually in the younger years, you're edgier, and then later on,
no. Well, it depends.
You
on
have an image.
You gotta think.
In Prince's case, it was the opposite. He lost all his edge. Last 10-15 years of his life. And a big fan of Prince was telling me that his mother promised him to get saved while she was on her deathbed.
Hey, he did it.
Yeah,
he
Mr. did Graham, it. Mr. Larry Graham.
Well, let's go to the footage right now.
Speaking of which, hung jury, Bill Cosby. How you guys feel about that?
I was
that?
Reading about that. It's one of those weird cases, man.
Do you think you're going to see it again? Or are they going to pursue it again, or is this going to be left in
the back? They said they retried. The judge made sure he understood that he could be retried after, right before they declared it.
There we go, DR.
Brian McKnight.
Hey, it's Brian McKnight.
If you're ready to
the
learn.
Other day on Twitter, I had an idea about doing an adult mixtape.
Anybody listening, feel free to call in live on the hotline, 424-777-2423.
And there was some varied sort of response.
The Activate LA Hotline.
Only
want to
hear me do one kind of song, but there's been lots of conversations I've had with men, lots of conversations I've had with women, just about other sexual type things that I like to tackle. So
Brian McKnight, serenading the people.
I'm in the middle of writing a song, and I wanted to give you a preview of what that song is. And the name of the song is If You're Ready to Learn. So let me give you what the chorus is. I'm going to give you a little bit of the track. This is what I say. Let me show you how your pussy works, since you didn't bring it to me first. I have lots of things to show you. If you're ready to learn, let me show you how your pussy works. Bet you didn't know that it could squirt. I have lots
of things to show you. So, how do you feel about Brian McKnight talking about about squirting it. Like you said, pussy was like a.
As creative as he sounds.
That's what I'm talking about. So let me give you a little bit of the track to give you an idea of what this is going to sound like.
Brian, then. I don't puts like the idea of an adult mixtape. What is an adult mixtape? Like a R&B shit, but instead of people just singing classics or whatever, like, you know, maybe somebody, Mary J. Blige singing Not Just Knee Deep or Lovely Day, Bill Withers cover, some kind of shit. It's, you know. This.
Yeah, I don't comprehend it.
It's a cross between a parody.
Yeah, and parody makes sense.
Maybe this makes no sense at all, because there was nothing that came from this.
No, this is good for a YouTube video.
But that's what I'm saying. Cracked or one of the like break.com some shit did it, where he did a video. It was a whole song, and they shot like a video, but it was like all like tongue in cheek, like not like he's like, you know, boats and hoes type of video shit.
Right. The thing is, about R&B, sometimes it sounds naive, the adult, you know, adult this, yeah, or adult that concept. You know, R&B is fine the way it is. That's why I've never been a fan of when they use too much cursing, or, you know, I'm fucking you tonight. Like, that's a good exception. That's an exception?
That's the same shit, but R. Kelly has always been, he's always wanted to be the hip-hop R&B guy.
Well,
if you forget, there's also an optional clean version, I'm Loving You Tonight. We don't have that today, now. No radio edits anymore.
Well, all the edits is just
that. Wait, it's either that or it's nothing.
You can say that on the radio now?
No.
They put
the fucking album version on the radio, and just the whole song is...
Versus what you just said about R. Kelly, you have an option to go with the dirty version or the clean version.
Yeah, back then
it's just dirty.
Yeah, they put effort. They made actual good songs back then. So many singles had a radio version, a radio edit, where they would change the word nigga to brother or shit like that.
Mm-hmm. But see, you'd only change that if you knew the record was a hit and it was going to be playing on the radio. Yeah. Now people's just flinging shit at the wall hoping it sticks. They don't know what the fuck is going to work.
Monkeys.
Yeah. Is it a work? Oh, shit, it doesn't work.
It's a circus.
Yeah, you never know. It's because it ain't based on what's good, what's actually good music today. It's hard. It's totally unpredictable, man. Like you said, flinging shit at the wall. But I like that one song, though. I don't know the name of it. I just know the lyrics. You know the I Can't Feel My Face song.
The Weeknd, yeah. I Can't Feel My Face.
Yeah, that's the name of the song?
Yeah. Well, I Love It.
It's got instrumentation.
It's called I Love It.
No, well, that's the lyrics.
No, I'm saying, what's the name, though? What's the title, though?
Yeah. I can't feel my face. Right?
Okay, I've never known the title.
Oh, he thought it was
But is that the song you're talking about?
Yeah.
He thought you were talking about the side effect of...
But that song is about cocaine, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's on fire on the stage and shit.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to 2007, the first thing I thought of was Joel Santana and freaking Lil Wayne with that I Can't Feel My Face mixtape.
It never came out, though.
You know,
like, I Can't Feel My Face.
No, but they did. Right. It was never officially released, but
they came out with a few songs.
I can go back as far as that. I go, okay, well, I know where that kind of stems from, you know.
Yeah.
But then that stems from something else, like Wayne's World or something.
I Can't Feel My Face?
It's from somewhere.
I think they're just talking about, like, coke.
No, they are, but the quote, I Can't Feel My Face. I think it's from like Wayne's World or
was it?
I didn't even know that.
Some movie.
I just see like they when they say they wipe the coke on the gums, they go numb.
Right.
And so then you can't feel your face. So I was like, boom, cocaine. I get
it. But see, that's a more updated version of how Brown Sugar is to D'Angelo, because that's about marijuana.
Somebody said Brown Sugar was about heroin.
Marijuana.
Let me do a little quick test.
The chocolate tie and all that. It was names of weed.
Thai weed and, you know,
heroin. That's so heavy headed.
But no, because the brown sugar, the powdered form of heroin before you cook it down. See, I don't.
You went on another level. I just hey
that was like the first time I've ever had my mind blown musically was Tupac when First Day Machiavelli came out. Yep,
which
Machiavelli came out 96. Yep. So I'm listening to me and my girlfriend. I'm, you know, I love finger fucking you, Hibachi Shells. Right? Yeah, I'm fucking, I was 12 in 96, right?
Yep.
So I'm listening to me and my homeboy. Your homeboy came over to the house. I was like, yo, I got the fucking CD. Get home after school. Fucking listening to this shit. We just listened to this shit the whole day. Then my brother come in the house, older brother. And he's like, yo, he's like, you know, he's not talking about a gun. I was like, what do you mean? He's sitting listening. I was like, and so it has like a double meaning. I had that same moment with the brown sugar. It could be either way.
Wait, you're saying he is talking about a gun or a girlfriend?
No, me and my girlfriend is
a gun. You're talking about
yeah.
gun.
Yeah, but right. 12 years old, and I think he's talking about a female.
Right.
And then, you know, he's talking about brandy and shit, so right, he's saying all these things that just hit on that level. Yeah. And then my brother, like, he's talking about a gun. I'm like, now listen to it again. It's like, and then, like, to see how, like, the beginning, like, the girl, they say, yeah, motherfucker, because Tupac won a thug bitch, right? So, yeah, motherfucker, you got the girl sound like Lady of Rage shooting at the beginning of the song.
I was going to.
So I'm thinking the female is his girlfriend, but his girlfriend is actually the gun that's being shot by the female. So it's like, you know, I never really had the Beatles listens to the shit backwards, so that blew my fucking mind right there.
You know, it's funny.
Me and my girlfriend Tupac. But this is like, you know, people is like, oh, you stupid fuck, I was 12, you sons of bitches.
No, but you know,
I'll fuck the shit out of her, no disrespect to
Lady of Rage. But
right now
you were saying
still,
yeah, like you would dip it,
you would dip it.
Yeah, but you were talking about you know, the similes in these songs and whatnot. You guys should really get into Joni Mitchell.
Oh, I fuck with Joni Mitchell.
Yeah?
I fuck with... Pave Paradise, put up a parking lot.
She's brilliant.
What's your favorite Joni Mitchell album?
Oh, Hijira.
Okay, I fuck with...
Chalk Mark and a Rainstorm after that.
Okay, 88. Okay.
My dude.
But I fuck with either The Hiss and the Summer Lawns.
Okay.
Or Don Juan's Reckless Daughter.
Yep.
I think those two would be, but yeah, man, all of her 88 was...
Wild Things Run Fast.
That's my shit. Oh, okay.
Underneath the Streetlight. Yeah. Come on, man.
I fuck with you, Dream Flat Tires.
Lionel Richie? He was on that. Yeah. Women, she bounce back. He's it. You know, what? But a man can break both his legs. That's Lionel Richie. Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so this is an old school artist.
This is on the point here.
She misses
I miss Tower Records, man. I go to Tower Records, and once I click on something, I'm on everything.
Oh, yeah. Those are the days. Yeah. Man. No more records.
Man, but
speaking of drug references in songs, Marvin Gaye, Flying High in the Friendly Sky.
In the Friendly Sky.
So, but I mean, I wouldn't put D'Angelo past that, because D'Angelo has had on record bouts with cocaine and heroin. So the double standard of like the brown sugar, I'm listening to the shit. There's now everything is on the top. Like if you know weed is weed, but you listen to it, it could very easily be. And I was like, like on there was a song E-40 and Mac Dre had, and E-40 said we pop pills, snort dog food or something. And I'm like, okay, snort. That's like cocaine. And no, dog food is fucking heroin. Right, you from up north.
I'm from there.
Dog food is the powdered heroin, right? Like the.
I definitely wouldn't know that, man.
So
I wouldn't know that slang though.
But people seem to put like they real deal demons on the track, so I wouldn't be.
But it don't sound painful. Like when Gil Scott Heron sings about heroin, you hear some pain, you hear some soul, some wholesome.
But
D'Angelo sounds more.
But Gil was intravenously, right?
Yeah.
What you mean?
Yeah, Gil Scott Heron. He was shooting up.
In the music, you just hear the soul, hear the pain. Like D'Angelo sounds very tender about brown sugar.
Right. Okay, so I get what you were saying.
But you know, art can be tricky like that.
Because brown sugar, it could just be two levels or it could be three levels. Because all the things is a woman, like you know, on the surface a woman.
Yeah.
But then if you know what he's talking about, it's
weed. It depends. Okay, well, it depends on the picture you paint. It's like either pleasure or pain.
Yeah.
You know, how many sizes? Pleasure.
I think it's good if we discuss it.
You know, women can also be pain. It's like pleasure or pain. Excuse me.
Tell you I like how you use your hand like a whip.
About your experience. Oh, I'm brushstrokes. That's why, you know, brushstrokes.
Tell you what, as the show goes on, I'll look up the YouTube video on brown sugar and see if they're discussing it in the comment section here with different people's opinions. Right.
Shout out to Ray getting this banned on fucking Facebook Live and YouTube right now.
So good practice right there.
We should be playing KB, a toast to the... Oh, we'll get flagged for that shit, too. We can win, sons of bitches.
Oh, we'll play a little KB there. Yeah, dude. Nah, but when it comes to drugs, the terms that they come up with is kind of like...
But people just... Now, it's too far gone now. You can only know the terms... When you were involved, like if ever like, hey, I'm quitting, I'm giving up, and like you step away, then you come back, shit's different. It's a completely different.
The first time I heard somebody use the reference as Puff the Magic Dragon, but the way they said it was Puff the Magic Dragon. I thought it was probably like some acid or some shit like some crazy shit, you know.
They were probably on Puff the Magic Dragon while they sang that.
They were talking about heroin.
Oh.
That's what the magic
dragon. Well, the dragon. When they say chasing the dragon, I think that's heroin.
Yeah,
Steely Dan. Steely Dan had some cryptic shit. I know my favorite fucking song from them is Everyone Has Gone to the Movies, and then I'm listening to that shit, and it's about a fucking child rapist that would bring kids to the fucking basement when the parents was gone.
Everyone's Gone to the Movies.
And then they also got a joint about chasing the dragon. Like, Steely Dan's like is on like the fucking Jedi level of fucking inner meanings and shit. Fucking yeah, I don't know. I apologize for my ADD. How the fuck did we get here, guys? Okay. How did we get here?
This sound is like
great LA radio. Give us a call, 424-777-2423,
man. Deactivate LA hotline.
Good topics. We got a special guest in the house.
Reminisce.
Reminisce in the house, man. Thank you for coming down. I see that you're filling out the vibe. It's cool, right? It's
cool. You got videos of you strumming on YouTube?
I think so. It's floating around. My work is floating around somewhere. I mean, I got more of my audio stuff up, you know. Yeah.
I mean, the whole spectacle. The whole nine.
Let's talk a little bit about Reminisce. You've been living here in the South Bay for quite a while now. But
I just moved to the South Bay.
Oh, you just moved. Okay.
Today makes it a month.
Oh, snaps. Well, you know. Happy month. You're not drinking today. If not, I will give you a sake shot. Congratulations.
The Silver Lake thing, the Koreatown thing.
Everywhere. Silver Lake, Koreatown, Burbank, you know. Yeah. West LA was the stomping grounds when I first got out of here. You know, Santa Monica, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, West Hills. I've been around.
Where's West Hills at? Is that like
it's further than Woodland Hills? It's West
Hills is UCLA.
It's north.
Oh, okay.
They call it West Hills.
West Hills. Okay.
No,
that's Westwood.
No, West is Westwood.
Oh,
West Hills.
Shout out to the DR. False flagging.
Westwood. Okay.
It's after Woodland Hills. It's northwest.
Oh, West Hills, of course.
101 Calabasas.
Yeah, the Burlington and the Walmart.
Yeah,
24-hour fitness.
Yeah. No. Those are what they call pyrus. They prefer the color fuchsia. No, you're safe. Put that on. It's okay. They won't get
mad
at you.
Which is one of my favorite colors, by the way.
We got Ben asking, he's like, quick question for you guys. Do you guys like live bands, like live funk and band and performance, or a DJ spinning?
That's Ben right there.
Yeah.
He asked me this question last night. I told him he could ask me when he comes.
Fearless leader.
Well, I am. I would say I am the live band.
So in his case, and he's the DJ. So yeah, but
quote Reminisce. No, but I am music.
I respect them both, man. I'm talking about Ben actually scratching the turntables on the Wheels of Steel, not that, you know, the electronic. Yeah. I push a button, it's coming up next.
I think what Ben is asking
DJ
too
Sink.
Far, you know, taking too far.
Ben wants to know what usually would you say drive the crowd crazier when there's a live performance of DJ.
But Reminisce, how could I throw a birthday cake at a kid in a wheelchair if there's no sync button? It's impossible, bro.
That's
is that Dr. Phil on the Wheels of Steel? I didn't understand. What?
No, but no. You never seen like the fucking Steve Aoki parties where they're just like fucking, they're throwing cats in the fucking audience. It's like they raise a kid and he's like, it's got a fucking cake.
And then they have all the visuals now going on in the back.
But the guy that's throwing all this shit is the DJ. Like, you know what I mean? But this has been going on for 8 minutes. He hasn't been at the table. He's like somewhere in the middle of these 80,000 people.
Like Dead Mouse. And all I don't dude, I just some people they'll just show me this stuff and okay.
Hey, it's a fucking party. People are happy.
Yeah. I guess, you know. Like
lives are being changed.
Like the great Paul Mooney says, keep them laughing.
What answer will you guys give to Ben?
To elaborate a little more on what he's asking,
ADD. Welcome back.
There we go.
I know like that fucking
Thanks for giving me some shit.
When he asked the question last night, he was curious about what drives the crowd more wild or what people are more into. I've noticed that people go crazy over the DJs these days as if it were a live performance. You know, they face the stage and they get down. I think I heard you complain once. You asked a question a couple months back. You said, since when did some kind of parties, I can't remember what genre of music you named. I don't know if it was house or something else. You said, since when did it become about standing around and watching the DJ? You asked that on one of the shows.
Oh, that must have been a long time ago. I did.
No, it was like three months ago, I think.
3 months ago?
I've changed since then.
Yeah, I changed.
No, I agreed, though. Kind of.
I do. I think I make this post every year, you know what I mean? And it's like, and I'm saying that from the point of view of, I guess, a dancer, you know what I mean? You don't have to be doing the splits, you know, like, in order to be, like, loving or showing or being approved with the music. But sometimes people just especially, I think, especially, yeah, especially, like, I don't know. I'm not bashing on the house events because a lot of people dance and groove. But there's some people that they just stand. They don't even move and just look at the DJ. And some of these people, I mean, I've done it myself. You know, are DJs that are maybe just kind of like judging the DJ. You know?
Yeah, I think it's cool when the DJ's in the DJ booth.
But like they would say, who am I, you know, to say, you know, or talk about the people that stand in front of the DJ system. Because maybe that's the way they appreciate. You know, it's kind of like you said it before, you know, you're kind of a little bit different than I, you know, you're more shy. So maybe the way I express myself is like being out there and this and that, but you yourself, maybe the way you express or appreciate more the music, maybe
I just
but you're a dancer though, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
you
dance. I just feel like I didn't used to though, but I feel like it's more if it's more about the music, it takes emphasis off of the DJ when it's only focused on the music, and you know, people can concentrate spiritually on a lot of other things going on instead of just watching them put the records on. You know, it's not
well. See, we're talking about when he asked the question, I'll answer it perfectly for him because he was talking about what drives him crazy. It's all about dynamics. With a DJ, you got different moods and different dynamics of music, you know, whether it's the volume, you know, going up, going down, this and that. Yeah, a band can do that too, but I agree, a band can only do so much.
It's a certain key they're stuck
so
in.
So much. Well, it's not even that. It's not even a certain key. It's a certain tone, just an overall tone.
There you go.
You know,
Because a DJ, like, you can have one song, like you're talking, Battle Cat has a certain clap. You can have different,
right? You can have different,
but a band
selections.
Is
you know, unless you just got a whole electric
gadgets.
Check out the Splinter. Then you know,
check out my wah-wah pedal.
Probably pros and cons both ways. Then
the pros and cons both ways.
I would think in some ways,
because you don't see
a recorded record is limited, whereas a band can do all kinds of things on stage.
Right, their antics and their more members. You got jumping off the stage. This
but to answer Ben's question for me, why choose? I like both.
Yeah,
both are respected.
I like both.
Different moods.
Different moods.
I just happen to be in one.
Yeah, I mean,
but because of that one you're in, you can easily jump into the other.
Oh yeah,
you know, it might be a different technical situation, but like, you know, music, learning a different way of playing.
First
music.
Of all, hip hop is in my blood from day one.
Here you go, right? Take that shit back. Thank
man.
You.
First of all, shout out to Ali Shaheed Muhammad. You know, who I've met, great person. Rafael Sadiq.
Wow,
man, my Oakland native. That's the homie. Man, but I was saying, dude, like one of my like favorite all-time groups, Tribe Called Quest. I'm talking about back in '93. I was 4 years old on the tube, like we're on the war tour with Muhammad, my man. Like, you know, to be honest, like if it wasn't for hip hop first, I don't think I would have been the musician that I am right now, because everything that I was listening to then. Everything that had a jazz, you know, this is before I knew about samples, to just whatever was in the music that had a certain color chord, a major seven, this and that,
yeah,
kind of run, you know, like minor nines. And I was, before I knew what that was,
you
it
like
just,
that, yeah.
You're talking about a 4 or 5 year old. Oh my God, that's doing something to me, you know.
Explain for the people. I'll lie and say I know, but I don't. So explain for me as well. What the fuck is a minor nine?
Minor nine. Yeah, what's a minor it's nine? It's a minor chord with an extension of let's see, you got your leading tone, which is a seven, and then you got your second note, which would be the nine, which is another octave of the second note. So it's a color chord. It's like, let's say you don't have a keyboard hooked up. I can show you better than I can tell you because it takes the ear to listen.
You know what's tight though? What we could do, because you were saying you weren't ready. On the next one.
Oh, on the air. Just blast me on the air. Like.
No.
Shout out to Ray putting him on the spot.
On the next time, we'll hook it up and this and that. Big shout out to Stop Playing Tectonics. Remember, he called in and Johnny Arco was asking him a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah, about the oscillators and shit.
While you bullshitting, one day, yeah, he could come on the show. Because what happens is we have DJs do a set sometimes.
And excuse me, sir, who's bullshitting?
They'll get, well, while you're sleeping, whatever. And yeah, you know, DJs, keep going. They do a set.
Pay attention. That was pretty extreme.
Rub some cats. Yeah, just what? They do a sugar
set,
free.
So it'll be just like DJs doing a set. But in this case, he, you know, perform whatever you want to perform, keyboard, guitar. And,
like a six set?
It can be audio. It can be just audio, or you can be on camera and audio. That'll be cool. One day, because we have guest DJs all the time.
Yeah, that would be sick. You know, yeah. We'll set up the camera. I got another camera now.
I'll send you a link to the past show so you can hear how it usually goes down, and then you'll know what's up.
Okay, but yeah, I was saying, hip hop, you know, was first in like helping me hone my skills as, I'd say, more of a keyboardist. Mm. You know, Rhodes and Fender Rhodes and this and that, and of course, I'm self-taught, but I learn from the greats and I learn as I go. You know, it wasn't until Prince I really took it to the next level and really kept my instruments in my hand. You know, it was three. It was Prince, it was Stevie Wonder, and Lenny Kravitz.
At what age did you start playing keyboard?
When made me start playing keys? Well, I've been on and off keys since I was a kid, just by default. But just to take it seriously, it just kind of picked up within itself. You know, like I said, my main influence, who was multifaceted as well, is Prince.
Produce, arranged, and play.
It's like, okay, well, if I can do this, I can do, I guess I can do this too.
Or, I could wear booties just, with a star on them, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, whatever's clever, really, like I like to say.
Give me that trench coat and G-string. I'll make it work.
He knows about my crazy outfits.
Hey, I like those pants. Just cut the ass out in the back. That's how I want them.
Yeah, it's a pain. Yeah. It's a pain dressing like this every day, man. I see he doesn't put himself through it.
It's a pain.
It's a pain. It's
I don't. Huh? I mean, shoot. Right,
well,
I've
seen you on some days where you're chilling.
Yeah. No, but I've definitely, you know, put myself through the ringer, the extreme, man. Yeah.
I invested in some vests recently. To wear in the summer, so instead of jacket all the time. Yeah, just
summer
wear a
vest with
a shirt.
Man, I'll tell you, I've been burning up in all that velvet and heels.
Oh, you fucking a lot of velvet
vests and this and that.
It's what
if you get like a I don't know if it's a scratch, but you know where it's a permanent like a light like the grain it doesn't
crush velvet.
Yeah, like it has a like it's almost a highlight. Like if you get a certain scratch or.
It's there forever.
So you okay? Yeah, because yeah, some water should be nice and up.
The sun. It just depends.
You got like a spray or some shit you put on? You ain't got no.
Maybe, but I really don't get my clothes.
Oh shit! Here come like that crush velvet player. Look at that silky motherfucker.
Yeah, my clothes are on a break. Well, next show.
Spin around for him, baby. Let him see your coat.
I'll be back as Reminisce
on a related
artist.
Yeah, and
next show.
The return of Reminisce.
On a related note, my apologies, not making it clear. You'd be part of the show, and not just. He thought we were just going to come and check it out. He didn't know he was going to be on the show.
No, what's your
thanks for the DR expounding on Ray, putting him on the spot.
Once again.
No, I'm making it more.
Look at that glass in your hand. Clarity. I think it's making you give bad decisions.
More clarity, more elaboration.
Oh, there you go. But I'm glad you guys.
As far as that era, the thing about you said about rap music, I feel the same way.
Hip hop.
1990s rap in particular.
Hip hop.
Well, early 90s rap to mid 90s.
He likes the word rap.
Well, I'm referring to rap in general, not the rap in particular, not the culture as a whole.
Okay, the culture.
I like the way that DR's holding the drink, bro. You look fly.
KRS-One in the building right now.
But no, that generation of rappers, it's funny how the best generation of rappers grew up at a time where there was no such thing as rap music. That's what inspired them. The real music from the 70s.
Everything 60s, had to be original.
Oh, man. You exactly. Take it back. Everything had to be original. As a matter of fact, I mean, even after
Cool Herc. Glass everywhere.
But even before all that, but even like in the midst of Cool Herc spinning in the park, because he was just spinning the records and whatnot in the breaks. But you take it to Funkadelic. What's the song? Take Your Dead Ass Home. On Tales of Kid Funkadelic.
Ooh, that remember, man went, that, he went
he was
deep.
Dreaming of Venus and took out his Venus and he woke up with a handful of goat.
With Cosmic Slop.
Like,
all those.
That was way before. I mean, that's 76. Like,
yeah.
That was
what's the name of the
Sugar
song?
Sugar Hill, yeah, Sylvia Scott Robinson. And, you know,
take
of course,
your dead ass
she
home?
Had, of course, she had the moments out with them doing that thing. But they were doo-wop and R&B. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like.
Funkadelic.
That was rap before was rap, yeah.
Already, like, they pioneered so many genres, you know, that people are just sleeping on. And, man, that's man. Cool. So
at one point, you know,
but
the mothership is real.
Yeah, that was a whole nother. That's a whole nother level. We talk about Prince a lot. I need to do my own fucking research. I know the characters and everything, but like when you went back to the Tales of Kid, was it Cosmic Slop, Maggot Brain, Tales of Kid? Wasn't
Happy
it
Dugout?
like these albums, I maybe like gave a glance through, but I haven't sat with. I was stuck in the '80s. All that, what everything came out, 80, whatever, but
yeah.
70s, like the when it was like heavy rock, Eddie Hazel, all like, you know what I mean? I listened to it and I could do it, but that's on a whole nother level.
It's on something else. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not one to sit here and just say I listen to everything too. I mean, because from 1980 on up, like, that's when everything was more polished with, like, Parliament, Funkadelic. Yeah. Agony of Defeat.
Sir Wiggles the Worm.
You put me on Electrocuties.
Yeah, Electrocuties.
Yeah, that was, yeah, the Electric Spanking of War Babies. Yeah. Like, all that, I know what you mean. It was more, it was like the 70s, but just 2.0. Like,
yeah.
It was on steroids. You know?
But the 70s had its own, that's where the mothership was like, you know what I mean? You could go and see the fucking show, Gary's in a diaper, and you know what I mean? All kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
That was the 70s when the full experience was there. Like, you fucking get the LP, you got comics, fucking three different pullouts of the inserts, everything. So that's now, like, more of the like storybook almost, is on so many levels. Parliament, Funkadelic, all that.
Now, to go back to the 70s, and it's funny because I want to mention the sound and, you know, the whole Motown sound. Now, although, you know, I delved into some Motown, but to be honest, and I don't know, a lot of people may say whatever they want, but I wasn't really a big fan of the drums being buried in the back with the cardboard snare sound. You know, like, the drum breaks and kick in, and then they'll just fade into the back, and I'm kind of like, okay, you know, I understand drums being panned on one side, like they're doing the 60s Sly and the Family Stone,
yeah,
and all that, you know, that was cool.
That fucks you up when you listen to headphones.
One of a kind.
You mean
that kind of? I was like,
Hey, Sly had a lot of hits just based off a basic ass drum machine.
Just because of the drums. I was like,
when you say the stereo, like, you mean like the stereo mix, the way that you say the percussion is panned to one side?
Oh yeah, I'm talking about the mix, but I'm not talking about that as faulting it. I'm talking about just the mix in general, no matter if it's stereo or mono. I'm talking about the drums just being buried.
We got Funkadelic in the background.
Oh, okay. Everything.
Shout out to YouTube Fingers Funk.
I researched mixing ones, and this one dude said that his general tactic is to have the kick. The kick is, he always centers it. Always has the kick in the center.
Yeah, full on. You just, because when you word of advice for mixers out there or people who are, you know, striving and thriving musicians is, when I mix, I like to mix from drummer's point of view.
And you know, how is that?
If you could you're standing, I don't know, people can't, well, they can't see if they're watching the video.
Yeah, why not?
So, it's like you're sitting behind a drum kit and you're facing, it's like, audience. Your back isn't to the audience.
So you mix the tone.
You mix accordingly to your setup, but as default, let's see, the hi-hat is usually at, let's say, 20 to 30%.
And then the tom here.
You know what I'm saying? And then floor tom, center tom, whatever, that's middle tom, you know, ride, anything special. You mix just according to, if you really, I don't know, if you really study and you know how drummers and dynamics work, or if you're multifaceted, you know, or you just have that gift. But I said all that to say, that's just my advice, or that's my, what I like to do, my preference. No matter if I'm making a track, a beat, you know, whatever production, I always mix from drummer's point of view.
Shout out to Phil Spector, who would shoot holes in the wall to get better harmonics.
Well, hey, and whatever it takes to make the hit record, man.
Yeah, I remember researching.
It's definitely a formula.
The mono and stereo mixes some years back when I was doing a lot of producing. And I remember learning that you do it as if there's an actual band on stage. So a guitar on one side, there might be this guitar and that, bass guitar on that side, rhythm guitar, lead guitar, the kick centered. The drums, the piano on one side, and 30%, 40%.
from side to side.
Yeah. Shout out to the rare mono pressing of the Beatles hit Can't Buy You Love with the alternate lyrics, Can't Buy Me Bitch, Get Off My Cadillac.
Well, you know, they, yeah, I was also...
That's a dope t-shirt, man, by the way.
Tony.
I make these myself, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got a clothing line called Wax Apparel.
Oh, let's shout it out.
Wax, you know, Apparel.
Wax on shirts. Apparel, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, 45s, 12s.
Where can Where can people order it?
Just through my Facebook. You can find me, first of all, at Reminisce. That's R-E-M-I-N-I-S-C-E. The Artist. T-H-E-A-R-T-I-S-T. On Facebook. And then... from there, you see my wax apparel that's on the side of my page, you know, on the, listed under your other pages, or facebook.com/waxapparel.
Yeah. Yes. Do you mind typing this in do right you, there for the chat?
Sure thing.
For ask, the listeners.
What was I going to ask? Are you able to get that image, those types of images? You probably couldn't get it. It'd be difficult to get on a button-up shirt, huh? Like a white, no. If I gave you a white shirt or a black shirt, could you get...
Not exactly. Anything's possible.
Really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I size and cut accordingly.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'll wear Tony on some shit. Yeah. I'll wear that exact shit on a white shirt or a black shirt, man. Hell yeah. Oh, let me speak of the War Babies, dude. You know the cover. Y'all know the
original. Spicy ass shit.
The original, not the one that the feminists got mad and
What do you mean? Tell us about this.
We discussed it on the show, actually. We discussed a couple weeks ago.
But when they covered the ass up, the spaceship looked even more like a dick, right?
I can't remember.
Carlos laughing.
It was even more risque than just having it all out.
It wasn't just feminist purposes. Like, sometimes an album is more marketable when less racy material is on the cover.
Shane Prince said free Bill Cosby.
I think he is free.
Yeah, he's free. Yeah.
So dog food, the dog pound.
But Jell-O pudding still costs a motherfucker.
Hey, they haven't proven him that he's guilty, so you know he's free. Then
he saves, but he rapes.
Yeah, well, that part I don't support. I'm just doing
the whole Bill Cosby thing is weird.
Yo, everybody tuning in, I'm just doing that for hits. Okay, no, don't lynch.
Tough.
Fuck. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
That was an awkward turn.
No, I just the whole day I didn't wish anybody Happy Father's Day.
So now I'll say it on the radio. It counts. Fuck you.
Well, yeah, so they can check it out. Yeah, there you guys have it, ladies and gentlemen. Clothing line that is facebook.com/waxapparel. So you guys log in right now to the Facebook chat, and it's gonna be up
check
there.
Check out the fleet. It's there.
Everything.
Wax apparel.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Apparel on wax.
How long you been having this brand or?
I established it as a brand, an official brand, last year around Christmas time. But I've been doing this for over 10 years.
For like over 10 years.
As well as my music. Let's see. Wait, it's 11 years. 11 plus years, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this goes back to my, you know, teenage years and just making custom shirts for people and whatnot.
Yeah. Nah, man, I'm gonna have to purchase that one. I like it. It's
thank
dope.
You, thank
it's
you.
Dope.
And you know, the thing is too with these, it's like as they get older, it's like the record. You know, it's symbolic to the record. When it gets older and worn, you know, it just looked like it's an old worn record, but printed out. You know what I'm saying? So it's very symbolic. You know, to how we wear and how we wear things.
Yeah, you were saying something about the feminist or what happened there?
Oh, that was no. Well,
that was actually 4 hours ago.
Yeah, I was just saying. I'm out of that. Material is more marketable when certain racy stuff.
I support all women burning their bras.
Like that nigga, like Daz didn't go. He didn't go by that nigga Daz anymore because it wasn't marketable. So he changed it to Daz Dillinger. Just like the Dog Pound, they had a dog shit album they wanted to do.
But it was called Dog Food.
Shit. No. They want to do a second one. Dog shit. CHIT.
Because naturally, you see, after the food comes the shit. So progressively, our sophomore album was going to be dog shit. But they wouldn't allow it at the label, so we called it Kill a Motherfucking Bitch in the Streets, Fuck All These Niggas.com.
Well done.
That was also a platinum hit.
Play. Hell yeah. I fucks with it. dog chit. They changed it to chit. CHIT. To make a long story short.
Any projects coming
out? Oh, shit, there goes that awkward silence.
Yes, this summer I have my LP, actually my first debut coming out, I'd say as Yeah. More as solely as a producer, multifaceted, multi-instrumentalist, and letting other vocalists take over.
You know, rappers, singers, and, you know, just people from around the way. Yeah, it's got that that flavor that'll make you reminisce, you know?
All right.
Like, yeah, so that's all I can say, man.
So, like, a compilation with you doing the instrumentation for every track.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Like, an easy one beat type compilation. Mm-hmm. Or a Pete Rock compilation.
Pete Rock, more like Soul Survivor Part 3.
Yeah. Do you step in front of the microphone as well?
Oh, Pete Strumentals, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And then, speaking of which, it's funny because I never mentioned my influences on the hip hop side. It's definitely Pete Rock, Q-Tip. Shout out to Tip Rock, man. Large Professor, man. And Kamal Fareed, the Abstract, and the late great man James Yancey J. Dilla.
Yeah,
it's definitely.
How would you feel if somebody said that De La Soul, their favorite album was The Grind Date, and Tribe Called Quest, their favorite album was The Love Movement?
Gotta get a close up on this.
Man, that just,
you wouldn't feel too good, apparently.
No. Well, let's see. The Love Movement for me, I listened to them all, but The Love Movement was more like, it's kind of all over the place because, you know, the story, Fife, you know, he was barely in the studio, the budget, and this and that, back and forth. It started with Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
Yeah.
You know? But that's still more, to me, that was more manageable because Tip was on most of the production and Dilla too, which is uncredited. The Grind Day.
The Uma.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and judge it, you know, but it's not really my taste, except for Verbal Clap.
Okay.
You know, it's a Dilla production. That's that, he flipped Billy Squire's The Big Beat.
Do, 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 do. What's the one they sampled?
A Big Beat.
Big Beat.
Yeah, every Special Ed for the Big Mission Beat. And you know, Big 99 Problems, Jay-Z. Yeah. I got the big thing to get on down. That, yeah, but what was that?
So reminisce. Knowledge on these bitches.
I wouldn't judge that everything is, you know, in itself, and there's a reason. It's just, yeah.
The name, where did you,
would you be as so enlightened to tell the people your favorite De La and Tribe albums, if you have one?
Oh, wow. Let's see. Well, De La, the one that I gravitate towards. Ooh. It's in between. I tend to like the 93 era, but it's a
Balloon
mix.
Mind State?
Well, Balloon Mind State. Let's see. I'd say Balloon Mind State. Then De La Soul is dead. But no, I'm sorry. Wait, let me take it back. No.
Stakes is high.
Whoa. Stakes is high.
96.
Because that was my first De La album I purchased on CD.
Okay.
And Beast Rhymes and Life was my first CD that I bought out of Tower Records back in 96.
Beast Rhymes and Life was 96 too?
Yeah.
Stressed Out was on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Faith Evans. I was seven, dude. Just. Like,
shout out to that video, randomly having a Tribe Called Quest and Busta Rhymes running through a dry cleaning store for no fucking reason.
My boy Charles.
They never told you what they were running from, but they are running hard as fuck.
Cassette tapes from Walmart.
were they still edited back in the day?
Mm-hmm. I remember I had Busta Rhymes' first album, The Coming.
Oh, The Coming.
It starts off,
He
will bring the ruckus
to all you motherfuckers.
But you couldn't hear it in the Walmart version. He's like,
he will bring the ruckus
to all you mother. He will bring the ruckus to all you mother.
I never discussed my Tribe. Let's see, Midnight Marauders.
Okay.
Because of the heavy jazz influence. Mm. Like the Cal Jader and like all the sampling they were doing, Ronnie Foster. And I'll tell you a funny story, man, about, you know, how I met Ali Shaheed. I was playing Electric Relaxation. I was at Guitar Center, and I just so happened to just be playing the shit.
You had to be doing good as fuck, because I know you've heard that shit a million times.
What city was this, sir?
This was in Sherman Oaks. This was the Ventura Guitar Center in Ventura. But I was just in there minding my business. You know, my back is turned. The keyboard is
this way, like towards the audience, like I was saying about the drummers thing. But the door and everything was over there, so I'm down in Pro Audio. I'm just minding my business, you know, playing the track. Yeah. And then I get a tap, or he taps the keyboard, but people walk by, you know, I network when I'm in there too. Some guy in a white shirt, he's like, "What you know about that, man?" And he walks off, he looks back and was like, "Give me the nod." And I was like, "What the?" You know, I just, "What?" And we just, like, we sank from there, man. And he was like, "Yo," we were just bugging, like, "Yo, B, I never, man, that is crazy. I never thought I'd be walking in and somebody just be playing my song." And, you know, it was cool, man.
Dope.
So, yeah, man. But right now, I think he's in cahoots with Raphael again, because last time I saw Raphael, they were working on something.
It's been a dream.
What was the fucking, I listened to that podcast.
Another Lucy Problem would be amazing.
Pissing me off. Franny Kelly and Ali Shahid would do as a podcast. They had so many people on there, like, where you just get, like, you know, because he has history with everybody. And then so from one of the greatest hip-hop groups, potentially one of the greatest podcasters, because the stories you will get, because there's actual history. It's not just like, okay, so tell me about your first album. All right, your brother got shot in the foot. How'd that make you feel? No. Did that affect your second album? But it's like, hey, you remember that one time? Was it? Because, yes, because such and such is here. And then, like, it's, you can feel like it's a authentic story you're getting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pissing me off the name of the podcast. But Ali Shahid Muhammad and Franny Kelly, the name Franny Kelly.
Dude, Ali Shahid and Raphael Sadiq on the beats for together for a whole album was a dream, man.
But yeah, even with D'Angelo, you got to think, because Ali was a musician before anybody even knew it. Mm-hmm. And if you remember some of earlier D'Angelo performances, he was on the bass.
Oh, D'Angelo was on the bass to the...
No, Ali... Wait. Ali was on the bass.
I think
Raphael was on guitar.
Yeah,
but it's so funny because Raphael, the song Ask of You and Lady, I would always get those... Okay, so remember Higher Learning, the movie?
That's all I
got it confused. Right, but I used to get it confused, like, oh yeah, D'Angelo's Lady is...
Okay.
But it was Ask of You when I saw it later on in life again, but of course the songs are in the same key and they're both produced by Raphael Sadiq.
Okay.
You know, yeah,
he's
good at the E flat productions, man. You know,
he produced some,
my favorite key, by the
more
way.
Than one song on D'Angelo's first album.
Ali was on the production too. I think Ali did Jones and My Bones, didn't he?
I'm
he
not
did,
sure.
Who did shit damn motherfucker?
I don't know.
It was probably just D'Angelo. It was real bare bones, but the hook was shit damn motherfucker.
Raphael and Ali Shahid and did production on that album.
I know he did album on this production on the second album too. For his
Raphael?
Yeah, how does
he did How Does It Feel? Yeah, he played the guitar.
Okay,
that's him.
Did that song win a Grammy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, Raphael has a Grammy. That's cool. And his brother has one.
Yeah, that's voodoo. Like, yeah, that was responsible for his career. It's sad to say, like, it just, you know, and I understood where he was coming from.
Who's that?
But D'Angelo. When he was
voodoo?
Going after voodoo, yeah. And the only song people wanted to hear was How Does It Feel? Oh, take your shirt off, do this and do that, you know. And he's like,
then he got caught in the meat district with a transsexual.
And Prince also, bro, I didn't know about that. But,
meat district.
But Prince, you know, being his idol, yeah. Also, and D'Angelo is very multifaceted or was thriving to be at the time. And he was like, okay, on to the next thing, but everyone, you know, tours are grueling. You know, Jill Scott, she went through that same thing too. Like, you know, someone, good friend of mine who I'm in a band with, she was, I think it was her. Correct me if I'm wrong. But she was saying how Jill was, you know, saying how she's sick and tired of, you know, just saying, singing the same stuff over and over every tour. It's grueling. Damn. Because her first album blew out the damn water.
Prince, you know, Prince, and his bootleg movie star, he said, I'm sick of making these albums and singing these hits, but I like these checks. You think I don't? I write a check and make the bank bounce. But yeah, that's the pitfalls of anything. You fly too high, you can only go so far, and then but shout out to Ali once again. He seems to be the most out there. Like, Q-Tip has a persona around him where, you know what I mean, Fife, he would come out every now and then, like albums or media wise, and then Jerobi, he's off living fucking life. But Ali seems to be like the most common thread of people know Tribe Called Quest usually through him because he's the most out there. He talks like he just walks up to somebody and the fucking, hey, I like that shit. Usually a QT.
And
like,
more importantly, he's the DJ. The DJ still gets, you know, like DJ Pete Rock. DJ's in the forefront. Yeah. Pete Rock. And
Chocolate Boy Wonder.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's, that's just preserving traditional culture. You know, the man on the wheels of steel. That's who plays your records in the first place, you know. So, yeah, man, yeah.
But once again, the DJ doesn't really make a difference anymore when you got the sync button. Nobody breaks these records.
What was I going to say? Oh, what is the DJ situation looking like on Wednesday, Rhythm and Nuts?
Oh,
the 21st of June, 2017 at Tokyo Beat. Activate LA brings you Rhythm and Nuts with special guests Jawan Rates and Juliet Mendoza. With the residents Honey Touch, Tremaine, Carlo.
And Ray Funk, man, don't forget
so
about
Ray Funk. Oh, shit. I was trying to go for a dramatic pause, but you cut me off.
No, no guest DJs this week?
Yeah.
I just said Rates. The fucking guest.
Well, I mean, you just named so many folks, I didn't know.
All right, go for it, go back.
No, Jawan Rates and Juliet Mendoza.
There we go.
Oh, you were just saying words, and I was waiting for something to care
and
about.
The flyers back there. You know,
Boom.
Big shout out to everybody tuning in, man, on the Facebook Live and ActivateLA.com. Big shout out to everybody tuning in on LAPartyRadio.com. Man, give us a call right now. That's 424-777-2423.
Activate LA Hotline.
Let us know what's up, man. Say what's up to us and reminisce.
That jacket is hot as fuck.
Are you saying you were at a function yesterday, or was it a significant or anything? You were at an event yesterday?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, first of all, shout out to my good friend April Foolchild, you know.
April Foolchild.
That's the homegirl.
Yeah, what up?
Man. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She makes music with excellent you?
She's a flautist. She plays the flute. You know, she makes bomb songs, man. She's got a song out right now called Easy.
The flute, that's hot.
April Foolchild, yeah. Easy. You know, check her out. YouTube. Facebook, SoundCloud. She just got a deal with Universal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my girl and I'm proud of her.
April Foolchild.
Yeah, man. If you have a chance.
Oh yeah, live from the 2. Where's she from? 215. Yeah, she's from Philly, man.
Oh, Philly.
Yeah.
She lives on in LA right now.
She's from out here. She's living out here now, man.
Shout out to Jilly from Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it comes to performing, what has been your biggest challenge?
Challenge?
Yeah. When
how to dodge all these panties being thrown at me.
That's a challenge.
Oh, man. No, could you reiterate that question?
Yeah, when from your performances, what has been your biggest challenge? You know, like the crowd, you know, pleasing the crowd, you being nervous.
Can I share something with him that you shared with me?
Yeah.
He was saying how sometimes when you get work as a musician, an instrumentalist with the band, and they have their own vision and their own thing going on, I think your exact words were there's not enough room for creativity for the instrumentalist working with them since they're already doing their own thing. So I guess if they can open up a space to let you dictate some of the the melody and the, you know, the rhythm and the project itself.
Depends on the swing, you know, of, yeah, I would say that is
your
my one of, I guess it's not really a challenge, it's more of a conflict about courtesy,
like a work ethic,
you know, work about band ethic, you know, work ethic, but more about just, you know, band knowledge and whatnot.
Sometimes you're somebody's background dancer until you get your own show, or somebody's background singer until you got your own show.
Play your position until you're in position to move yourself.
Yeah, work ethic. Yeah, work ethic.
Shout out to that one time Snoop Dogg gave the producer some credit and, you know, let him spread his wings out on national TV when they were on Jimmy Kimmel, and Dame started breaking shit and tearing shit down, and then it's never happened again.
And shout out to Tupac. Well, Tupac, he said when he used to be a roadie, he said he enjoyed the work ethic. Even though it was dirty, you know, it was dirty stuff. Getting your hands dirty stuff, you wouldn't want to do it. He enjoyed the work ethic. Instead, dancing on stage with blow-up dolls and...
I like that dance you're doing. It's like
dirty fellatio acts with a blow-up doll.
Yeah.
Correction in that
610 from a homegirl. You know, I was thinking about the roots.
April Fool child.
Yeah, when I said 215, I was thinking of, you know, the roots. And I just,
oh, was that like, her? Oh, did she text you?
No. I'm just saying.
Phone's like, oh damn.
No, that wasn't me. I'm just
April
saying,
Fool child representing 610.
610.
She's free, man. Like I said, next time when you come down, man.
Oh yeah.
What's the single again?
Easy.
Easy by April Fool child.
Yeah, Fool child, man. Anyone you would like to give a shout out to?
The person that just texted you.
Oh no, that's a big shout out to Soulstar. Send her a little bio.
Still haven't sent that fucking bio.
Oh, you gotta send it, man. Yeah, but anybody you would like to give a shout out to out there?
Man.
People, you know, support you or people, you know, just in general.
Man. Few people. Let's see. First of all, give a shout out to LMG Livest Music Group out in Burbank. My boy Jay Ali, Sean Carson. You know, the whole LMG family. Man, my family, my grandmother, my pops. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
My mother. You know, but yeah, definitely my grandmother. You know, she's my rock. So, yeah, shout out to my boy Barry Bryant too. You know, for coming through. You know, much love to him and happy Father's Day to him too.
And, happy Father's Day, yeah.
And to, you know, to all the artists, everybody that I've worked with, man, you know, throughout the years and that I still continue to work with, man. Much love and respect. You know, let's keep this going. You know? Yeah, and thanks for having my back. Yeah.
That's right.
What is your social media?
Yeah. Yeah. Their social media? No, Facebook.com, you know, / the artist. That's me. Okay. Yeah. All one word, REMINISCETHEARTIST.
Spelling bee legend.
Words are my thing.
Yeah.
Just why I'm sitting here right now, you know, the right brain creative genius person. But yeah.
Shout out to the DR looking like he has some important shit to say, but saying nothing.
You got it all fucked.
Anything else?
I was just gonna mention, man, one day, one month, at Rhythm and Nuts, man, it'd be dope. Like a 20-minute or 30-minute whatever DJ set, man. Yeah, you could have him playing one day or something.
Oh, that'd be sick.
That'd be really cool. He'd tear it down.
We've had live performances before. Reminisce would be no different and very welcome.
Yeah.
Tear it down. Right.
Will you be down? I mean, if you're down, you know, we can probably set it up. Yeah.
Music,
that's what I'm talking about.
Hell, man. Tokyo beat.
Yeah, brother. DR, give a shout out to, you posted on This Is Los Angeles group, the Reggae Radio Show, man. Oh, yeah, Where can they tune in?
Oh, every Saturday night.
What's the name of it?
Roots Karamu.
Roots Music Karamu. ETVradio.org, and then you go to Roots Music Karamu, or / Roots Music with the K, Karamu. It's broadcast from the East Coast. It's a 2-hour show on Saturdays from 10 till midnight. So here it's from like 7 to 9. It's really badass. And, you know, I look forward to listening to the reggae show that our guests that were on the show.
Roots Time Radio.
That's Sal, right?
Ross Sal.
Yeah, yeah. I still need to hear their stuff. Roots Time Radio. They were very inspiring. I love their passion for reggae. Really, really moved me, man. Because, as I said on that show, and I always say, reggae is a motherfucking miracle.
Roots Time Radio, brought to you by Ross Sal, Shiny, and Fiery G.I.R.E.
They have a couple monthly things they do too, man, but it's been so much going on, I haven't had time to look back into it, but I definitely want to go to one of their reggae slams.
Yeah.
So I got to contact.
Yeah, they've been around for a while, quite a while, you know. So, yeah, so don't forget this Wednesday, that's
June the 21st at Tokyo Beat. Rhythm and Nuns, brought to you by Activate LA.
Yeah.
Special guests, Juwan Rates, Juliet Mendoza. Also with your residents, Honey Touch, Tremaine, Carlo, and Ray Funk.
Bring the pop locker.
Yeah. Curated by Carlo Alonso.
Carlo Alonso. Don't forget to try that ramen, man. That ramen is delicious. The edamame, just the drinks in general. And the night is free. They don't have to pay. You guys don't have to pay. It goes down to 2:30 in the morning. It's going to be cracking. There's music from modern funk, house music, funk, hip-hop. Hip-hop is from all types of hip-hop. The funk is just some nasty funk, so don't ask.
Sweaty.
Musty. What was that? Word you said a long time ago? It was not musty. It was Muggsy, muggy, or it was. I said like, but you said it was nasty. It was like just
clammy.
Clammy. Yeah. So, and don't forget to tune in every Sunday night from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Sundays. ActivateLA.com, new hours. LAPartyRadio.com and IdentifyRadio.com.
That's live video streaming on ActivateLA.com.
And if you're in the UK, tune in on IdentifyRadio.com, 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. And you can catch us there. TalentedMrFunk.Podomatic.com, too. For the people asking us if we got Patreon, I just made that shit up. Coming up, nobody has asked me shit. But
nobody asked, but they're probably thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, reminisce, man. Thank you for coming down. We still got time, you know. Just I got to make sure I give a shout out to everybody out there. But
oh yeah, by the way, speaking of shout outs, man. Before you know, I forget.
Yeah.
Shout out to you know Ladybug Mecca, man. First of all, from Diggable Planets and the whole Diggable Planets crew. You know.
Yeah,
I got to meet them all, and they were cool.
Blowout comb is the shit.
But Mecca, man, that's my girl, man. Shout out to her.
My man. Okay, it's Ishmael. And then Mecca's a butterfly.
No. Mecca's the ladybug.
Ishmael's
butterfly. C-Note is the doodlebug.
C-Note, there we go, my man. No. Doodlebug was on Camp Low, and he's like on Shabazz
Palaces. Shabazz Palaces, that's Doodlebug, right? That's Ishmael.
Ishmael, okay, so Doodlebug is from Seattle.
Is it?
The light-skinned dude. I think he's from Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one, I think, because he was doing some solo work for a minute.
Less known. They all did some solo work.
Was it Trip the
Ladybug
Light?
Ladybug did it.
Trip the Light, fantastic.
Yeah, she was actual Ladybug on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck did I think she was a butterfly?
No, I was going to ask, what was your weekend like, Ray?
It was pretty good. I just stayed local, you know. Last week, we were having a little statistical difficulties, like we say it over here, in the Activate LA radio show
on Sunday.
With the cameras, most of the show it was like it froze. Oh. But luckily, since we're on LAPartyRadio.com, we record all the audio. So
it was like old times again, though. Us three just wilding up.
It's been good. Yeah.
We got some good call-ins.
And an hour long with the Swedish selector. Funk selector.
Yeah, we started in the beginning, you know, it was the first. It was Tremaine and I, then Andre came in, you know, the DR.
They took me in.
Then Chris started coming around a little bit more. Then Leo came in. And it was always only us, you know. But then it just recently, it's just been fully packed here over here. It's just a lot of guests, so. It's been good, you know what I mean? I think we need a little, like, slow down, so we're starting off good with Reminisce.
Funny what Jermaine said last week about bogging us down. Like, he interpreted my words to say that as if I didn't want the guests, as if they were bogging us down. He cracked a little joke about it, man, on the show. It was funny. Yeah, it was funny.
You'll hear it later.
He was joking, by the way.
Oh, you think you're fucking funny?
I actually wasn't.
No, you were saying it from my point of view. So
you guys are a bunch of dead weight.
what was that?
I'm going solo. Flash Thompson, it's lonely at the top. You can't sing like Eddie King. I wish that raindrops would fall.
Hey, how you see a motherfucker in a fucking, like, he put a jacket on, but he still had them fucking metallic ass pants on, like he could sneak in, like, hey, motherfucker, I see you with them Reynolds rap pants on, get your ass out of here.
Wait, you talking about Clive Harvey?
Yeah, you remember when Eddie Kane came up to the, and he pulled his jacket off, like it was a surprise he was wearing a suit, but you could still see his shiny ass pants when he walked up.
Come on, baby, you can't sing like Eddie Kane. Shout out to Big Red being a straight G.
Oh, man.
That boy Michael Wright is something.
Robert Townsend.
Oh, man. And we gotta give a shout out to the Modern Funk Fest, and this is coming up in July. Is it July?
July the 8th at the Echoplex. Modern Funk Fest 2017 with live performances by Battlecat, XL Milton, and Monica. Brian Ellis's Reflection, and DJ sets by Funk Freaks, Inca One, and Hot Hobo. Hosted by Zachy Force Funk.
Don't forget to get that new Monica, man. It's out.
Black Wave Funk.
I can only
Available on MoFunk.com.
Also, Hot Hobo, they've been coming out with new records, right?
Hobo Camp. And Voltaire Records. Hot Fire.
We're hot now. What's up, DR?
And Brian Else's Reflection is Brian Else's new album, Mirror Mirror. Available on Chit Chat Records.
Speaking of Mirror Mirror, don't forget to get that Linias record.
300 pressings only.
I gotta get that one, man. You gotta get that
I'm one. Stabbing somebody to get my shit. Life's a risk on that.
What's up, DR? What's cracking?
No, I was just laughing when I first... I wonder how many people, when they... How many people, when they first see Dame Funk's name somewhere, they think it says Dame Funk.
Shout out to Dame Funk being on B-Real's Hot Box, being on the fucking NPR podcast, and everybody, like, they just, for sure, they never heard his shit. They just seen, like, the ledger. All right, now, Janae, the studio, we have Dame Funk.
Actually, it's Dame.
Okay, so I thought that's why I put it. Back then, kind of good.
It sounded like a rapper, you know? So, like, Dame, like, you know, you think.
Reminisce. Since you've been out here, have you been mistaken for Dame Funk before?
Once.
I love your music, man.
It's so funny, but no.
I thought you cut the perm, my boss. You still pimping out here, baby?
I don't even know what he looks like, but
always.
He looked like Stevie Wonder.
No, but it's always Prince, of course. It's always Prince. Then it's, I mean, I've gotten some Rick James, everyone who's my idol too. You know,
have you ever got a Verdeen White?
I get Verdeen.
Bassist from Earth, Wind & Fire.
Because of the long hair.
You ever get Wilt Chamberlain?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt is still.
Pippin Wilt, what up?
Yeah, you got it now.
You looked a lot taller on TV.
You got it now, Pippin. You reminded me of Wilt Chamberlain before.
I love that movie where you and Arnold was just going around, like, getting that like, just caveman. It was crazy.
Yeah, why'd your character betray Conan like that?
It was cool when James Earl Jones came in. Shout out to that ADD once again.
We just shouted out the Jinx shout out. But anyway, shout out to all the listeners, you know, and the special ones out there listening too. Yeah.
The special ones.
The special ladies.
Yeah. Tremaine, speaking of, I think you mentioned a show, The Hot Box. I want to give a shout out to The Hot Box.
The Super Audio Network.
Yeah, they hit
the
me up.
The new Super Audio Show, the Packy Chan Show, the Hot Box, and Jag Radio, all part of the Super Audio Network.
No, they hit me up from the Hot Box, and they want us to go do a little crossover. So I'm trying to see, you know, maybe what Saturday we can go.
Okay, it's on Saturday.
On Saturday,
I'm with it. Yeah,
so I might have to get gonorrhea that night and call in sick.
I got the chlamydia.
Reminisce is like, oh shit.
call in sick from work.
Boss, it burns.
It burns.
Doctor said it's the illness of 1,000 needles.
Next subject.
No, but Hotbox.
let's be the mutable quality here and just destroy that mood.
No, Hotbox, they have a really good show. You know what I mean? They have a good show.
They call it the Hotbox for a reason.
When you hear the show being called the Hotbox, what do you imagine, Reminisce? I'm about to pull out the video while you answer.
Wait, the show called the Hotbox?
Yeah.
I don't think about your typical hot box. It's a cross between, beatboxing, and as Grand Poop would say, stink box.
Stink box.
Yeah. Like that, I don't even want to.
That's funk box.
Oh man!
Shout out to one of the Wu-Tang's most recent albums where they said. Your mom's wearing spandex in the grocery store, showing all our oysters.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the hot box of the Super Audio Network is a very multifaceted show of various topics and very various colorful individuals, all in a box that's hot. With carcinogens of cannabis.
Marketable, catchy title. The hot box.
Hot box.
So it's the typical.
But it's actually HTBX. Oh yeah. It's hot in there. I've been there. Let me tell you.
One thing I like about their show, I mean, it gave me a lot of ideas.
He liked the secondhand contact.
And it was not to get their name or the same name they use. It's more like they have a niche. Niche? Or, no, I say niche.
Niche.
How do you say niche yourself?
Niche.
Okay, because we did a couple of shows, right?
Yeah, one show, yeah.
And it's different. All of them.
Potato.
All of them are right. Niche, you know, niche. Some say niche. Niche.
Fulano y Sutano.
Is it originally a French word? Fulano y Sutano.
It has the accent mark above.
It like has the same thing as like cream fraiche. Niche.
A crepe fraiche, you know.
Crepe.
Hilarious episode of South Park, cream fraiche. You haven't seen it? With the shake weight?
Yeah.
You seen it?
Yeah. Cream fraiche.
Fraiche.
Is the fraiche.
Yeah, so, question to Mr. Andre here.
The DR.
When can we, yes, the DR. When can we expect an LP from the DR?
The question of questions, man. The question of questions. It's like every year or every few months, my nose gets better and better. A few months ago, I noticed that it had, you know, I could had a breakthrough in my throat where I could really, really sing. Now it's, you know, slight obstruction here and there.
Do you have that 8-year cycle like the Chinese lunar year?
No, I'm happy to get on. I'm happy that I will be recovering fully from it eventually. I'm pretty sure I will be. And, I was producing some stuff recently. I got some really, really cool stuff in the works.
Fire.
I just got to... This has been
you
a crazy year for me.
You motherfuckers ain't ready.
Economically, it's been one hell of a year, but it's beautiful. It's been a beautiful struggle this year. I got so many projects I'm working on. Music is the one I want to get to the most. But sometimes, you know, more practical matters hop up in the way, man. Different creative projects, things that will lead to a better financial situation quicker than... this passionate project will or that passionate project will.
Trying to get that motherfucking money.
Money. Because we have to, you know. But yeah, music is it's never far from me. It's never far from my thoughts. It's to the point where when I'm on my way to Funkmosphere at the Virgil, I have to play slow 90s R&B music. Because I want to be hungry for the funk when I get there.
Shout out to the DR preparing himself to get out and do a dirty grind on the dance floor.
That's the thing. Yeah, the dance move, the way I dance, is hard to be motivated that long every week. So I have to do something to make myself hungry for the funk. So I have to listen to something else.
You gotta be hungry. Big shout out to Les Brown. Something. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to me having three shot glasses over here. I can play some tic-tac-toe. X's and O's.
No, Les Brown. I follow Les Brown.
Oh, yeah, so music real soon. Very
he's
soon
like, you gotta be hungry.
I've gotten even better as a vocalist.
Yeah. No,
as
but
a producer.
Speaking of, you gotta be hungry. I'm getting hungry.
Les Brown can tell a story like a motherfucker.
Getting close to the hour. So, man.
That witching hour.
It's that. It's that time. But,
The Hot Box of the Super Audio Network.
Big shout out to them. If you guys are tuning in, check out the show.
Pretty early on when the network was very, very young, but they're here to stay, and it's everybody's friend, your friend, my friend, everybody's apparent. Left, right, nut.
All day.
Right, left, right.
Oh my God.
Speaking of about meeting people in person, don't you guys hate it when you guys meet somebody a couple of times? You know, in a row, and then later on, 2 months later, you guys see this person, and they go up to you, like, hey, how you doing? And you're like, oh, shit, I know who, I remember this person, but I can't remember this person's name. And then they tell you, like, what's up, Reminisce? And you're like, yeah.
Wow.
So,
I swear I had that encounter like a week and a half ago.
But how did that happen?
I didn't remember. I remember the face, but I didn't know the name. It was one of those... Yeah, it
people are usually pretty understanding about that when that happens.
Yeah, but it was one of those.
I don't know, not in LA. July 4th.
Yeah. It was one of those just high and by kind of things, but I was at the studio in Burbank, and I was at a radio show there.
Yeah.
You know, a guy was like, oh, my man, Reminisce, and I'm just like, my man. You know,
I do when I remember one person's name but don't remember the other and I'm trying to introduce them. I'm like, Ray, the homie yep. Ray.
Okay, so that's where I was gonna get at. So how do you, so you can see somebody and be like, yo, just cool, but when you're with somebody that you just met too, and you kind of want to introduce him, you know, because you don't want to look like a dick. So how do you play it off? I'll tell you how.
Okay, you want to go ahead first?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this actually happened yesterday. for a split second at that function, you know, the thing I was at. What Rise. Yeah. I was at Rise. Okay.
All right. Reggae?
No, it's a Rise. Thing that Wyclef, like...
Okay, Rise. He sponsors some Black Power shit.
Rise, R-Y-S-E. It's for Rise. It's for artists up and coming. Rise. They just
I was going to do that.
They just came out with an app and everything, too. But anyhow, more importantly, I was saying, now when I meet that person, it's like I see an old friend or I see someone that I know, and then I tell the person I just met, hey, so this is so-and-so, and then he or she would introduce themselves to them, and then they'll say their name, and that's how I go. Oh, okay.
That's a good way. Let me envision it.
You know,
do it
on a sneak tip, you know. So I probably gave some points.
The way I do it is like, oh,
hey brother, this is Ray.
Like, let's say,
right.
Let's say
I said the homie. Yeah, that's kind of obvious too that I don't know their name, but they're always cool with it.
Yeah. No, the way I do it, like, let's say I don't remember his name, and I just met you two, but I do remember your name. I'll be like, what's up? And you'll be like, yo, Ray. And like, oh, shit, check it out. Oh, this is my homeboy, Reminisce. And then by that time, you guys kind of like about to shake hands. And Reminisce, this is my homeboy or my homegirl. And by that time, that person already said their name.
Well, right. That's what I just said.
It's the same.
Expertly
same
coming
thing,
too. So.
Same thing.
But
it rarely happens. But
there's times where like the person knows. You're just bullshitting, and you don't remember the fucking name.
I haven't had that.
No, I had. I'll be like, yeah, you know what? To be honest, I don't remember.
I have photographic memory, but every once in a while, if I'm courting someone, like if I really like that person, that's where it slips out because I'm trying to get so much other information in.
Yeah.
So then that slips for a second, but it'll come back. You know. Yeah.
In my case, I'm a very loving person, man. So, and people usually can feel that. So when they notice
your
that,
water,
they'll notice if they do notice that I forgot their name for a moment. They usually feel the love anyway, man. So I don't, you know, they write me a pass spiritually in that situation. I feel like.
Yeah. Now,
DR says they feel the love, but they actually feel like they don't fucking matter.
No.
Nah, they know. What about you, Trevin? Like, when you don't remember somebody's name, like, and you're, like, introducing them to someone else.
He's like, I'm tall, I'm big, motherfucker, do something about it.
You know, it's bad, you know? It happens. Recently, I have no phone number saved in my phone, and somebody just hit me up, like, hey, you know, don't forget about this. And I was like, oh, what's, like, you know, when's that happening? And like, oh, you know, right now.
But it depends on how many conversations y'all have had together. How close.
Well, my phone was no text message previously, but it's just a phone number. And I just couldn't bring myself to be like, yo, who this?
Oh, I'd always
so I like I just kept going until like to see if I figured something out, and then I didn't figure it out, so I just let it be.
Let it be.
I was supposed to be somewhere and I wasn't there. I think, apparently.
Yeah, sometimes if y'all haven't chopped it up enough, or if I don't get to use a person's name often enough, I don't I won't always remember it. But I'm usually pretty good with names. But being in this environment these days, where we meet people so often. Be a challenge.
Well, fucking the internet doesn't help because you know what I mean. You meet so many people, you know, through the internet on social media that finally you get to meet this person in person.
Up.
No, and you're like, somebody people goes up to you. You know, we had a listener. They're like, oh shit, you know, I listen to you guys' show, and
I don't give a fuck.
No, and I feel bad because you know what I mean. Like, I wish I knew who this person was, but sometimes I kind of blame it on not on her, but on some people, because some people they don't even have a real profile picture. You know what I mean? So you don't know who they are. You know, it could be a picture of a LIGAR, and like I show up like, yo man, what's up man? You know, Reminisce. I've been following.
Oh, you got a girl with the LIGAR photograph? Yeah, I remember you. Yeah.
A LIGAR, the lion tiger mix.
Yeah, nice. Or a puma,
or a Teon, I think,
or a lynx. What's a Teon? A lion and a tiger?
If one is the mom, if one is the mom and one is the dad, the name is switch. So if the tiger is the dad or if the tiger is the mom, the name depends on that.
So it'd be a liger or a tion?
I'm not sure how to pronounce the T-I-O-N one. I think it's Tien. Tien. I don't know. But yeah.
Tien from Dragon Ball? He had a third eye. It was weird as fuck.
Weird as fuck.
Woke as fuck.
Tion, like T-Boz, Tion.
Tion Watkins, there
Tion
you go.
Tion Watkins, yeah.
There you go. TLC has some new shit come out recently.
Oh, yeah, way back. I heard the new stuff, man.
How does that work?
Cool. Yeah?
It was cool.
TLC?
Isn't it just,
they got a song called
TC now?
Called,
I'm not trying to be funny.
Oh, come on, man.
That's the way. I'm just saying, how is it TLC?
What the fuck are you being trying to
I'm not trying to be funny.
I mean, he got shot. Because does Tupac hear, really I have Tupac? Let's be serious. Come on. Is he one Pac now?
I wish I could hear all three of them.
Yeah, it's just TC, yeah. Right?
I say that because I wish I could hear all three of them.
Shout out to Elephant in the Room, Andre.
Yeah, they have a song out called "Way Back" featuring Snoop Dogg. It's kind of funky, man. Yeah.
Okay,
that '90s soulful funky, you know.
Keys, I'm horrible. Man. I just don't support shit, man. I should be like, you know, me, regardless of the situation, like still stick in people's corners. I saw TLC come out and something. I was like, what are they doing? Trap. I don't even need to see this.
Yeah, you're trying to steer that way or steering that way, too. All
right, so I don't feel like I missed out.
No, but don't get me wrong, man. Like, I'm reminisce, first of all, but I'm classic all the way. I just happened to, you know, open Spotify and TLC. Oh, they got a new song. Let me see what and I was playing keys at the time when I heard it, so I was just, you know, when I'm on keys, I follow what's playing or if I'm not playing my own stuff. So that's how that happened.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, that's kind of cool, you know.
A shout out to the DR talking about being confused about adult mixtapes on the Crazy Sexy Cool album. They had one where it was a skit where she was taking a shit.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
And you know, before then, that was called, like, you know,
it was called
Pass Me Some Toilet Tissue.
So I can
no, that didn't work for you.
I remember the total.
I didn't.
Hey,
I've listened to that skit once, got fooled by it, never listened to it again.
The Total.
I always skip over it.
I fuck with Kissing You from Total. That's a classic.
The Total album had the
Do You Think About
sketch.
Us?
What kind of sketch?
The Cunnilingus sketch.
Was it Total doing it or was it like Puffy?
It was Total.
Yeah?
Puffy.
All right. You all right, that's Kim. Right. You lit right. Keisha. Now, Keisha, yeah.
Oh, big shout out to Sherry Jernigan from Florida.
All the way from Florida.
Oh yeah.
Watch out for them swamp gators.
I got some music playing.
Eminem has nothing to do with anything, but fuck it. It's from the Super Audio Network.
No, it's not. It's not from there. Is that? What are you like? DR? I thought you were rubbing that shit on your balls, dude.
This is brought to you from Live and Vibrasonic Vision. Can you feel what I'm saying?
Can you feel it? Somebody calling? Oh, no, that's the website.
Shout out to us getting our hopes up, being some lonely fucks.
Vouch for yourself, man.
This is Eminem, Still Don't Give a Fuck, right? Yeah, this is off of the Marshall Mathers LP.
Oh, dude. That was ridiculous, man.
Eminem. Ridiculous amount of words. A ridiculous amount of imagery, and I'm pretty sure some city said if somebody else said it wouldn't be allowed.
Little did you know, upon purchasing this album, you have just kissed his ass. Slim Shady does not give a fuck what you think. He's fed up with your shit, and he's going to kill you. Dude, we were in high school, man.
Every time I reminisce,
we were dying.
Taking reminisce back in the day.
Did you ever dye your hair blonde?
It's so funny. I've thought about it and pictured it, you know, certain parts.
It just is sometimes like the Kanye shit right now. It's just
look, what you're talking about, full blonde. No, I'm talking about like a streak or a highlight. I haven't done it.
You gonna frost the tips?
My hair is too long. It's your boy
B-Pack. Before it's just like all blonde.
It's too long for that. It'll, you know, break out. I don't know, Melissa. What's her name? Melissa DeSosa. Melissa DeSosa.
The name sounds familiar.
From a whole bunch of stuff, but she was in. Best Man Holiday. She was in that one too. Remember, they did a remake.
Yeah.
She actually did her hair. The stylist that did her hair, like, she wanted to be a full blonde, or the role was for her to come back, you know, all Beverly Hills glam, full blonde. But in the movie, she was wearing a wig because her natural hair, which was always long, they messed it up. You know.
Shout out to her getting another paycheck for their fuck up.
No,
this pain and distress is going to be $50 million.
I'm sure it's back and she's looking good as ever.
Shout out to that girl that was also wearing a blonde wig when she was drugging the dudes and then robbing them once they went to sleep.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if they've caught her yet. But that wig, she can get an upgrade.
We're getting close to the hour, though.
Close to the hour. This is actually After Hours.
So how does LA Party Radio, we still broadcast from LA Party Radio?
Quit asking questions. It's going to work out, bro.
So while we were talking about
speaking of looking at people making it awkward, I used to hate when me and him used to perform in Hollywood, like up the street from each other. He was on that side of Hollywood and Holland. I was like,
hey, motherfucker, you know I run this block?
He was there for a few months. Well, a little while, actually, before I started. But I remember I used to hate it when a group of, like, rugged dudes would gather around me and watch me sing, listen to me, because I knew my shit ain't... I knew they weren't going to be into my shit. But somehow, I guess they were intrigued, so they would fuck with it anyway.
That dude is all right, but you motherfuckers is too rugged. You're going to have to keep going.
Nah. I mean...
I don't want your thug dollars.
That's the thing, though. I would if they was with it. I just feel like they were more intrigued than actually giving a fuck about the music.
But the thugs never... like, whatever receptacle you have it, they just throw it on the ground. They never actually, like, try to put it in there.
No, not the money.
Here, take this money, motherfucker. I like your shit.
You know what?
There's two kinds of reactions you can get.
Let me speak on this topic, because, first of all, you know, it's all about the people. And
Sherry's like, come on, Ray, get your shit together.
Actually, where they come from, you know, some of my best, they're real people. My best fans and, you know, real good friends and whatnot.
Rugged as fuck?
They used to be, you know, into something, or ex-gang member, this and that. You know, they like the real people, because it's like, no, you know, they get the stereotypes.
They gather around me like we're in a prison yard. But
let me finish. I'm just saying, the thing is, you know, they get such a bad rap. I mean, yeah, everybody does their dirt, but shout out, thank you, man.
There we go.
Yeah.
7 months, the Radiation Song by
Reminisce. I was gonna say that, you know, they do the dirt and whatnot, but it's like, they're the ones that support you. They see you being yourself, you know, and you're sticking to it. You stick to your guns. They will support you. Well, you know, those are the type. I mean, that's from my experience.
Right. No, when it came to performing on the streets, there was two kind of reactions. There's, well, three, actually. The people who don't give a fuck. Then there's the people who give you money just because they just see you doing something at all. And then there's the people who, they either give you money or they don't. But as they walk by, they're jamming, and you know they're feeling what you're doing. So sometimes there's a spiritual overlap.
Yeah.
You know, you
can, and I'm not knocking any of that. Yeah, I'm giving my, right, you know, my whole take and experience on it. But the people are real. And, you know, the language, we speak the same language with different wording.
I'm saying. I feel like deep down they want to fuck with it, but they just feel too hard. They feel like they're too hard to fuck.
Hey, yo, man, that music touched a spot inside me I didn't know I had, but I'm a thug, so you can't see me cry.
That's why if you play some motherfucking funky shit at any of these places that play trap, you gonna feel it. You can't fade the rhythm.
Oh, you feel the funk, baby.
Yeah, you can't get the rhythm, dude. The soul, the rhythm, the bumping. You know, that's where most of the dopest rap beats came from, you know, over the last 25, 30 years.
Did you ever try to pop a Xan and then listen to the music again?
Pop a Xanax? I have friends who do that.
It might take your mask off.
I have friends who crush Xanax and snort.
No, I don't think you got what
you're
saying.
No, yeah, he
future joke. Future joke.
Somebody gets it. I'm dying up here.
No, he goes over my head. I think they want. Yeah, they want to fuck with it. That's pretty much hitting the nail on the head. They want to fuck with it deep down, but they trying to figure out.
But
how.
Yeah,
Shout out to the guy at the end of Step Brothers who didn't know how to hug his brother.
Something out to my man over here playing this track, man. You know,
here we go, man.
7 months.
The Radiation Song. Seven months.
Yeah. This is my first time here. That's for me.
It's composed. It's about a lady. It's about a little lady. You know. I had a deep, you know, or have, whatever, a deep, 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 deep love for, you know. Hopefully she's out there listening, you know. I know she's on East Coast.
Is it connection
time,
or is like something deep as when it comes to romantic wise?
Yep.
Wow.
Let me tell you, bro, it went deep.
No, it goes, the beat is just fly, you know what I mean? Mackish.
7 months, the Radiation Song. By Reminisce on SoundCloud.
Yeah, that's right. And for you guys tuning in right now and checking out the stream, we put his page, Facebook page link right below somewhere. I don't know, somewhere around there.
Look for the shit. It's there. Fuck.
It's there. And if you guys miss it, you guys know what it is. It goes on podcast, into podcast. So you guys can check out and listen to all our previous episodes. You guys can listen to this episode, the replay, on the talented Mr. Funk.podomatic.com
And also identifyradio.com. UK time.
Yeah, Reminis, thank you for joining us, man. And thank you for, you know, kicking it with us. And can't wait to have you come down, you know, and do a little six set, you know, set. And yeah, man. DR, thank you for coming down, man. And thank you for introducing us to Reminis.
Yeah, I've been trying to make this happen for a minute. But yeah, this is one of them years, man, where, you know, everybody's progressing and excelling. And, you know, we're conquering a lot of little setbacks and shortcomings and keeping it trucking, man.
It's a level up year for me, Jack. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, same here. Yeah,
he's over 9,000.
My dream is to get them and their whole, the whole Activate LA crew doing funk music at the Savoy Entertainment Center on La Brea in Manchester.
Shout out to Taco Tuesday at the Savoy, where somebody got stabbed last week.
Them folks need it. Oh, really? Someone got stabbed at Taco Tuesday?
No, it's funny.
But Taco Tuesday does go down at the Savoy.
Yeah. Taco at the Savoy.
Stomping at the Savoy.
You know, because this crowd, we need more funk south of whatever portion of LA you want to, wherever you want to draw the line. You know, we need this generation
south of Adams
to listen to some soul.
We need LA. I mean, we need funk just everywhere.
Funk in the hood.
Anybody in here know what stomping is at the Savoy means?
Stomping
at the Savoy. No,
be like
you out of all people.
I used to go every
who
fight.
Sends me videos of Big Band and Cab Calloway and tap dancing and all that does not know what stomping at the Savoy means. It's just it's another way of, like, you know, going out to what they do now, going out to the clubs,
and dressing up, getting ready for it.
There you go, stomping at the Savoy. You know what I'm saying?
Suited and
with
booted.
The, you know, big bands and whatnot. I mean, this we're talking about back in the 30s and the 40s and whatnot.
I love that era.
But anyway. Yeah, man, because you said Savoy, but
yeah, I noticed
there's a fly movie that's out, man, with my girl Vanessa Williams, you know, in it. Yeah, but that's
Reminis, like, can we play this on the show? Like, you know what I mean?
Sorry,
like can we use your song, play it on the show? We'll give you a shout out. Sure. I like it. It's, you know, it's mellow, it's chill. Ooh. I like I like it for either, like, when we start the show or end the
show.
Chill, man.
It's on and popping, dude.
Yeah. But we got part two coming down pretty soon, so Reminis once again, man. We're going to put up all your info, and can't wait to have you back on the show, man.
Reminis.
I'll be back soon.
Check him out on SoundCloud. 7 months, the Radiation Song.
Yeah. Check me out everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Rem the Artist. Shoot. Instagram, more importantly, at Rem, RemTheArtist.
Do it for the gram.
Snapchat.
Yeah. Rem the Artist.
Tremaine, yeah. Well, we got to get ready for Rhythm and Uns this Wednesday, man.
June the 21st at Tokyo Beat, Rhythm and Uns, brought to you by Activate LA. Special guests, Jawan Rates and Juliet Mendoza. Also, residents Carlo, Honey Touch, Tremaine, and Ray Funk. Rhythm and Uns, located at Tokyo Beat, 319 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, California. Every third Wednesday of the month.
Yes, sirs. Yes, ma'ams.
All right, fam bam. You guys have a good one. Have a great night. Happy Father's Day. And we'll hear you, see you next.
Peace and love.
Not the Pappet.
Activate.
Oh, man, before we leave, Reminis, can you hook us up with a drop? If you don't mind.
Drops with us.
I'm sorry?
This is Reminis, and you're listening to Activate LA Radio.
No, that wasn't Reminis, Pete B. This is Reminis.
All right, here you go. What? Two and
this is Reminis, and you're tuned in to Activate LA Radio. Yes,
he'll be up with one more. One, two.
This is Reminis, and you are tuned in to Activate LA Radio.
Dope.
I don't know who the fuck that other guy was.
Thank you so much, my brother, man. Right. Tremaine, Reminis, the DR, man. I will see you guys soon. And you guys will hear us next week, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Live on Activate LA Radio and LAPartyRadio.com.
.com. All right. See you, hear you next week. Activate LA Radio. Peace.